I'd like to tell you a little bit about Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio brings you a platform unlike anything on the internet today. A place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 9th, 10:02 a.m. Eastern Time, 7:02 Pacific. Welcome to another edition of the Fact Hunter Experience. I'm your host, as always, the Fact Hunter, George Hobbs, coming to you live from Dover, Delaware. How's everybody doing today? Good. Don't forget, folks, before we get started, top of the page, hit that click now donate button, whether you're listening on freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, or do like I did, become a Patreon. Support the station. We are in an information war. We need your help. This is a listener-supported platform that we are on, and we need your help. Please take a moment. Donate. Sacrifice that one cup of coffee every single month, whatever. Every dollar counts. Today, after my show at noon, it's the event today with Giuseppe and Dr. Jim Fetzer. And another note, catch me this Friday at 2 p.m. I'll be joining Mona on Adventures of a Feral Hippie. Thank you so much, Mona, for the invite. I appreciate it. Before we get started, let's check into the chat room. We have Ames Marie, Walther Mouser, always there. Good morning. Pat Rabbit. Who else? Steve One, Gare Bear, Seafot, Steve One. I think I said that twice. Lady Horse, good morning. And to everyone else who is listening in Studio B this morning. Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. I was going to come up and do an episode on Ruby Ridge. But I saw some articles in the news over the last 24 to 48 hours that I couldn't really ignore anymore, and I kind of tore up the script last night, and I'm not exactly going to riff, if you will, but I'm going to kind of go against the grain and talk about some things. We're witnessing, in my opinion, the collapse, the moral, if you will, the moral collapse of our country. And many of the problems that we have today, you can point directly to the morality of our country. And can you look in the mirror, have we compromised some of our personal courage to fit in? And I'm talking to everybody as a whole, not as individuals. But I think many of the problems today does come from many people's moral compass is not tuned in. Now, you know, we can get into a whole other discussion about, well, whose morality is it based on? You know, my set of morals may not reflect your set of morals. I'm talking about just general morals and how they've been degraded. And the reason I kind of tore up the script for what I was originally going to talk about, there was something. Now, listen, I don't watch news, and I imagine most of you folks out there are just like me. You don't have cable TV. You enjoy music. You'll watch, you know, old TV maybe or whatever. And, you know, by all means, we all plug back into the Matrix every now and then to get a distraction because, you know, if you spend 24 hours a day into the rabbit hole, you can get a little crazy. So, you know, and I'm all about that. I'm big into music. I play music. I've got a Ashen sound machine synthesizer. I love playing music. But I have one social media account, and I check it every couple of days. And Nickelodeon, which is a 100%, you know, ages, you know, 5 to probably 13, if I had to guess, based type of station. Well, folks, Nickelodeon has gone off the deep end. They have gone off the absolute deep end. They have a creepy drag queen pushing the black power fist and the trans flag. This is on Nickelodeon. I want you to listen to this.
And it should fill you with pride, showing who you are on the inside. With that pride flag up high, be true. And black and brown represent the queer and trans people of color.
Now listen, I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, do not care what two or even more consenting adults do in their own time, as long as they're of age and they're consenting adults. I do not care. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what you identify as. I care about what's in your heart and what kind of person you are. That's the bottom line for me. And I really feel that's the bottom line. Well, I used to think 99% of America, but maybe we're down to 97% at this point, because no matter what your orientation is, that should not be acceptable. Okay, this conversation is for the adults. And, you know, God forbid, you know, you don't have a mom or dad. Nickelodeon, PBS, and all these woke TV stations have no business getting into the minds of your kids. Now, you know, the few of us that are out there listening right now, as per the entire population of the country, we don't, I'm sure, allow our kids to watch stuff like this. But how many people are? This is dangerous. This is mind manipulation. This is, you remember, what age, the younger you are, the easier it is to manipulate a mind, right? This is manipulation. And now the end game, I believe, because if you go back to the 70s and on, how the moral compass has just turned to a 180 degree, everything's been normalized. And if you don't accept the PC agenda, then you're the problem. You're the racist, you know, you're the homophobe, on and on and on. Now, look, this isn't comfortable to talk about. I'd rather, you know, my old podcast, Retro Rock Reviews, I'd rather break down, you know, side two of Led Zeppelin 4 or something else. But the problem is we've ignored this stuff for too long, and we've turned a blind eye to this stuff for too long. And we, at the same token, we turn our head, look out the window, and say, this is all screwed up. Well, it's because we've gone along with this for too long. Only probably 1 or 2% of us have turned in our cable boxes. And unfortunately, this is all pandering. This is all coming from Chinese money as well. They know they can't destroy us from the outside in, but they're doing a heck of a job destroying us from the inside out. What else would Nickelodeon? 13-year-old Sasha Cohen. 13-year-old Sasha Cohen. The first openly trans teen in a live acting show called Danger Force on Nickelodeon. Folks, do not let Nickelodeon anywhere in your house. Do you know what your kid's doing? Do you know what your kids, your grandkids, what they're reading, what they're consuming? You know, back in the day when I was a kid in the 70s and, you know, the early 80s, you know, I got my information from the newspaper. From the TV, which back in the day, what did we have, 13 channels? Channel 13 was MTV. You had Fox. Did we even have Fox back then? ABC, CBS, your local affiliates, right? You get your local sports stations. But now the kids get information from anywhere. Their phone, right? 10-year-old kids, they have their phones. They can access pornography without any effort. How do they verify kids when they come on their sites? Are you 18 or over? Yes or no? Duh, that's it. We are doing a poor job of protecting our children and have done so for a long period of time. And what we're seeing, right? If you put crappy ingredients, if you make dinner with $2 steak, you're going to have a tough steak. But if you put a lot of effort into it, you get a $10 steak, you tenderize it, you're going to get a good steak. It's the ingredients, just like your body. If you eat pizza and drink sodas all day, you're going to be fat and out of shape. If you eat well and you exercise, you're going to have a tremendous body production, and chances are you're going to live a long time. Well, right now, the country of America is eating pizza and drinking soda at an alarming rate. The doctrine of being non-judgmental and the inability to differentiate has created a society where we can no longer tell the difference between right and wrong or good and evil. And that's really the Marxist path, right? That blur where you can't say that's wrong, even though we know morally it's insane. Phrases like social justice, inclusivity, and intersectionality, and of course the famous the right side of history, are designed to virtue signal, one is most sensitive, less prejudiced, more compassion, righteous, and forward-thinking, but they offer no consideration that there is much more to morality than simply catchphrases. The blurred line between moral behavior and the practice of political correctness, so as not to offend those blatantly disregarding the law, rejecting the very principles which our country was founded, has led to the majority of Americans to accept moral decay as, what's that phrase we hate, the new normal, right? Has this 21st century and what is really a cult form of idolatry corrupted to such a degree that we're at the point of no return and possibly signaling the end of the American experiment, right? The great American experiment was a rejection of ancient European feudalism in favor of individual sovereignty and political equity in the form of a constitutional republic. Now, the Constitution has been trampled and just torn to shreds. So we've seen that especially over the last year and a half. The United States is not a democracy and is antithetical to the concept of mob rule. We saw all last summer the burning of city after city after city, and they were praised. Now, you can call January 6th what it was. Many of us believe that it was Antifa. And, of course, there was a few Trump supporters that followed in there. But at the end of the day, they took that. People have been levels of tyranny we hadn't seen possibly in the history of our country. People frustrated and fed up. That was bad. To the point where they voted for $1.9 billion package. For what? For more heavy-handedness in the District of Columbia. I wonder who's going to get the $2 billion in contracts, by the way. Mitch McConnell's friend, Nancy Pelosi's friends, right? It's the elite being the elite. Now, because they realize that they're going full speed ahead with this UN Agenda 2030, they need to protect themselves. That was the main reason for January 6th. They need more security down there. They couldn't hold the National Guards down there any longer, so they just voted for $2 billion package, and they'll hire some, Blackwater-esque type of people to protect the elite. They have forgotten who works for who. If you go back and read the history and the decline of the fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon, it identifies causation for the collapse of one of history's greatest empires and parallels America's current course of destruction. Now, these are three of the five major causes Gibbons puts forth: the breakdown of the family nucleus, which what was BLM's big thing, which they eventually, believe it or not, ended up taking down off their website. That was the destruction of the nuclear family. Number two, the insatiable craving for pleasure, also known as hedonism. And of course, the moral decay of religion, which the reports that have come out over the last year, the decline of church attendance, especially in Canada, churches getting closed, getting fenced off. It's a disgrace. And like Rome back in the day, is the America Empire rotting and crumbling under the weight of decades of neglect of its founding principles and moral decay? So how did we get here? Now, the nature of man, biology, if you will, is designed as the survival of the fittest. We're always in a spiritual battle. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what religion you are, or maybe you're just spiritual, this is a war. We are in a war of good versus evil. That cannot be denied. And we are in a spiritual battle for balance and control over our character, our value system, and navigation of the quest to stay guided by a moral compass. Because most of the people, I still hope to believe, most people are inherently good. That's what they say, right? And we all, every single one of us, makes mistakes several times a day. But as adults, you try to learn from those mistakes and be a better person tomorrow. Now, the founders grasped this nature of man and sought to provide steering currents, if you will, for the American collective, which is really what formed our once great nation. And to that end, the founding fathers elevated the golden rule, right? And it's very simple. If everybody just do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? And here's the thing with that. You never know what kind of day somebody's having. You really don't. And there's a lot of people going through some difficult times right now. Now, I used to be a little short-tempered, and, you know, if I didn't get my order right, you know, at the restaurant, I'd be like, this is insane. You can't, because you don't know what kind of day that person is having. So I have, you know, over the last several months, I've gone out of my way to be more nice to people. Unfortunately, some people don't reciprocate that very well. And God forbid if you say thank you, ma'am, or thank you, sir. Sometimes you get that look. How dare you assume my gender? But at the end of the day, most people know you're trying to be nice. And sometimes you don't know what a small, just being nice to somebody could change their entire day. Back in 1798, John Adams, a leading founding father and our second president, once said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Think about that for a second. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. And even if you drop the religious part, because, you know, not everybody is religious, moral. He hit it right on the head. In his farewell address to his compatriots, George Washington said, "Morality is a necessary spring of popular government, as well as let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatsoever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." Now, the founders and the Republic's bedrock of principles did not dictate, did not persecute, nor did they compel one's adherence to religious doctrine or affiliation. Remember, many of the people who came back in the day were Protestants. And a Protestant, what does that mean? It's the protest, the Catholic Church. So you had Protestants, you had the Puritans, you know, you had some Catholics. This country was founded to protect your religious identity. Now, rather, they, and it did defend the individual's right to choose or exercise, or even not to exercise, one's personal faith. But make no mistake, as a collective, our founding fathers understood that a functioning and a thriving republic mandated a social moral tone that was crucial to maintaining order and securing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for everyone. Now today, you know, as you look across the playing field, we are indeed more divided as a country and polarized than any time since the Civil War. And the moral decay is manifesting in violence and chaos in our streets. Truth and reality are drowned out by the shrill voices, revisionist history, and propaganda that has set the narratives that has caused many Americans to participate in mass delusion. So the question therein lies, how did we get to where we are today? Because, you know, many of the older folks who are listening to the show right now, I'm 51. Like, if you go back to the early 80s, mid 80s, late 80s, I witnessed, even from the early 80s to the late 80s, a slide of the moral compass, right? Drugs were rampant. Reagan and company started the war on drugs, big prisons, the deinstitutionalization of mental facilities. So I think at one point, and look, I'm going to be off on these numbers, but at one point, this country had almost 500,000 people in facilities to give people mental care. Those went away between the 60s and the 80s. And many of those people went from facilities where they got care. Now, listen, we can do an entire show on these facilities because in many cases, these people experienced abuse. And that was one of the reasons why they went away. But for many people, it gave them purpose and direction. But the prison industry, you don't have to pay doctors. And so instead of paying for doctors, you're paying for guards, because many of these people who are at one point being cared for in these institutions are now homeless and in prisons. When I was coming home from Texas last weekend, Waze decided that it would be quicker for me to go through downtown Washington, D.C. during Memorial Day weekend. I think Waze was hacked. But I was shocked. The entire town, and I'll have to ask Giuseppe sometime. I think he lives in D.C. There were the amount of homeless people and the tents around the Washington Monument was insane. It's really sad. And I get everybody's responsible, you know, for themselves in a republic like ours. And we want people to fail and succeed on their own with capitalism. At the same time, states, right, because it's not in the Constitution, so it should fall on the 10th Amendment. States should do a better job of taking care of people. And once again, the federal government got involved. Now, back in 1972, only 7% of all U.S. adults had no religious affiliation. So if my math is right, 93% of Americans 50 years ago had a religious affiliation. Today, one-fifth of the U.S. public and a third of adults under 30 are religiously unaffiliated. Only 65% of American adults describe themselves as Christian when asked about their religion, down 12 percentage points over the past decade. So what does that say? Secularism is rising, right? and the young people, that the trend for young people in religion has really gone off the chains. Now, for me, because man ruins everything, I grew up in a wonderful church from the time I was in diapers until about the time I was 16. Then they got the wrong guy behind the pulpit and he ended up running half the church out. Because unfortunately, anytime, you know, with men are flawed, they're bound to screw something up, even preachers. So what about the sanctity of life? The moral compass, right about the same time frame, right? 1973, what happened in 1973? Roe versus Wade. Do you know how many abortions have been performed since Roe versus Wade was ruled back in 1973? 61 million. 61 million abortions has been performed in the United States since Roe versus Wade. Now, this is this stat here is really kind of shocking. But one third of all women who have abortions will have multiple abortions in a lifetime. Black women have the highest abortion rate at 30%. And if I remember correctly, back in 2018 in New York City, there were more black women who had abortions than black women who gave birth to babies. Think about that for a second. And if you look at adolescents aged 15 to 18, they accounted for 12% of the abortions last year. The United States is only one of seven countries that allow elective abortions after 20 weeks. Now, with that being said, there are other states, particularly Texas, in the very recent weeks that have ruled. I think Texas has the six-week rule now. And what about sexual promiscuity, right? And by the way, I'm not preaching from the pulpit here. I'm just reading the stats. You know, I was a young man once too. But one in two sexually active persons will contract an STD by age of 25. That's a huge number. The CDC, our friends at the CDC, estimates that nearly 20 million new STDs occur every year in this country, half of those among young people aged 15 to 24. In the United States, 110 million, or approximately one-third of the entire populations, have had a STD. Then you can get into the teen births. In 2017, an average of almost 20 births for every 1,000 came from girls ages 15 to 18. Now, the big one, the nuclear family, let's talk about that. According to the Pew Research Center, only 50% of Americans are currently married, as opposed to 72% back in 1960. You've certainly seen less and less people want to get married, and even more, especially over the last year and a half, with childbirths. I think when you see the childbirth stats over the next year or two, you're going to be shocked. U.S. birth rates fell to a 32-year low in 2018 and have been steadily declining for decades. That's the elite's plan, right? Eugenics, that's Mr. Gates. That is adhering to the Georgia Guidestones of 500 million people. We're at over 7 billion. Back in 1965, 24% of black infants and 3% of white infants were born to single mothers. By 1990, the rates had risen to 64% for black infants and almost 20% for whites. Today, listen to these numbers. 73% of black Americans, that's almost three quarters, two-thirds of Native American Indians, almost half of Hispanic, and a third of white children are born out of wedlock. Before 2017 and before the 2020 COVID economic crisis, welfare statistics per population stat The total cost of poverty assistance programs in America added up to approximately $1 trillion when annually combining both federal and state level program budgets. And when you look at the U.S. population, 73% white, 13% black, 18% Hispanic, and then 5% other, the welfare breaks down accordingly. 38% white, 39% black, 15% Hispanic, and 2.4% Asians. Overall, 100 million individuals, listen to this, nearly one in three Americans are receiving benefits from at least one government means-tested welfare program. One third. And then, you know, you can get into the U.S. debt where just, even if you just go back to 1997, 25 years ago, it was $5.4 trillion. We're at $30 trillion now and climbing. And if Crazy Joe has his way, Lord help us. And then, of course, crime. Crime is out of control. We have an issue here in good old Delaware. We had three cops shot the other day. The guy who did it had another violent crime shortly before it. They let him out. They didn't hold him. They just let him go back on the street. What did he do? He shot three cops. Our constituents here in Delaware are pretty PO'd right now. And we've seen that in Portland. We've seen that in St. Louis. We've seen that in Baltimore. And my goodness, we have seen it in Minneapolis. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and this is, you know, I can't handle the whole crimes against kids at any level. There are almost 900,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. There's almost a million registered sex. That's the ones they know about that haven't been caught. Have you ever gone to that website and make sure there's no creeps living around you? Even when I lived in Texas, I thought I was safe. I lived at the end of the street at a cul-de-sac. There's a big farm behind me. I went on that website and great googly moogly. There are evil people all over the place. We also have the highest incarceration rate in the world and the largest prison population, and it's not even close. We have like 8 million people in this country incarcerated. We only have 330 some million Americans. China has like a billion people, and they, evil China, only have about 4 million prisoners. What's wrong with that picture? Who's morally bankrupt? You can argue it's the system, sure. But we have the highest incarceration rate in the world. According to the FBI, there are now more than 1.4 million gang members involved in the 33,000 active criminal gangs in the United States. You know, right now we're sitting right around 330 million, and it's estimated that, and I think this is low, folks, 11 million. Or every one in 30 people in this country are illegal immigrants. Yet, criminal aliens account for more than one in five federal prison inmates. So that chunk of tax dollars, and by the way, it's good to hear Bezos and Elon and those guys aren't paying any taxes. It wasn't that refreshing to hear. Because I would have hate to burden those guys for paying taxes. I mean, how do you feed a family on $1 billion a month? I mean, I couldn't imagine. Bologna sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, ramen noodles. God bless Jeff Bezos. Oh, I feel for you, brother. Actually, we need to start a GoFundMe for Jeff Bezos. Poor guy. By the way, when you get launched into space on July 20th, don't come back now, you hear? Just keep your butt out there. Sexual assault stats are really scary. They're out of control. According to the FBI, there's almost 130,000 rapes reported to police departments back in 2018. A third of them resulted in arrest. So the other two-thirds, either, you know, I'm sure in most cases there was an evidence issue, things like that. Let's talk about violent crime. Over 50% of all violent crime is committed by Black Americans. 93% of all Black homicide victims are killed by other Blacks. And I'm getting to a point here. Don't get worked up. Blacks committed 52% of homicides between 1980 and 2008, despite composing just 13% of the population. Across the same time frame, whites committed 45% of homicides while composing 77% of the population. And this is from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. Now, the media will spin it the other way because of the agenda. The agenda, right? White America is bad. By the way, you know what's really bad and racist now, according to some people? The American flag. Did you see that? This crazy woman. We'll get to that later. I don't want to. What about our culture? You know, we can have a whole discussion on big pharma and drugs and marijuana and their place, holistic medicine. But believe it or not, and this is up for debate, one in six U.S. adults take one or more psychiatric drugs. 40 million Americans. That's a rise of 65% in just 20 years. Now, this is the part that bothers me. One in 10 children take psychiatric medication. I'm not a doctor. And I say that anytime I talk about COVID or vaccines. I'm not a doctor. Don't play one on TV. A little bit of combat lifesaver stuff in the military. But we'll never tell somebody to do this or don't do that when it comes to medication. If I've had experience with something, I will tell you my personal experience. But how my body reacts to something isn't going to be the way your body reacts to something. But my take on this, I would never, unless it's an extreme case, the doctors are so quick to identify something, to give something a name, attention deficit. If that was a thing back when I was growing up, we'd be all on it. We were worked up. We were drinking Kool-Aid. We were hopped up. We're kids. We don't pay attention. And then as we become young men and we grow into our manly bodies, our hormones are raging and things like that are going on. Everybody wants to identify something and get you put on a medication. And that's dangerous for a young child to be introduced with anything that interferes with, you know, what's going on up in the noggin during its developmental stages. Give the kid a chance to grow out of it. Yeah, your kid's hyper. Does he play sports? Do you take him out to play baseball, football? Oh, no, he just sits and reads a tablet all day, but you can't understand why he's being hyperactive. Well, maybe you need to take his behind outside and exercise. People will give a kid a tablet and sit in front of the tablet for 12 hours and then put him to bed. You know what's going on that tablet? How about go back to the beginning of the show when I played that clip from Nickelodeon? That's what's going on your kid's tablet. 21 million Americans have at least one addiction. Yet only 10% of them receive treatment. And listen, as human beings, I think we're all addicted. Some people are addicted to food. Some people are addicted to Dr. Peppers. Some people are, you know, everybody has addictions. Not all of them need treatment, but there are some that do. Drug overdose deaths have more than tripled since 1990, especially since the introduction of heroin into the suburbs. That, listen, heroin is a white people problem. My cousin, he died back in 2018 from a heroin overdose. Young man, 22 when he died. It's no joke. And you can thank Uncle Sam for that. And by the way, do you remember Lion Joe said we'd be out of Afghanistan by September 11th? And I said, there's no way we will ever leave Afghanistan as long as those poppy fields are pushing out drugs for our country. And guess what came across yesterday? Oh, there was a big attack in Afghanistan yesterday. 10 people were killed in these mines. Oh, you're just going to keep seeing more and more than that. And it's just, they're going to come out and say the same old, same old. We gave too many American lives to walk away now. We're going to stay. We are not leaving Afghanistan. We're not leaving Iraq. You better understand that the American dollar is an oil-based dollar. And the day we walk away from oil, that dollar, you're going to see hyperinflation like you've never seen before. We're not leaving Afghanistan, folks. From 1999 to 2017, more than 700,000 Americans died from overdosing on drugs. Alcohol and drug addiction cost the U.S. economy over $600 billion every year. Approximately 70,000 Americans died from an overdose just 2 years ago. Now, this is the part that gets to me. Listen to this. The average adult, not child, adult, spends 12 hours a day in front of technological screens, whether it be a computer, a TV, a cell phone, or your Call of Duty gaming, right? That's a combination of all. 12 hours a day, which, I mean, to me says, I'm assuming most people working are working in front of a computer. That's 8 hours a day. Then you check your email and you watch your TV. That's about right. That's about right. Now, here's the other part, but this is one of those individual choices. America's obesity rate tops over 40% of the population. So two-fifths of this country is obese. Now, somebody pointed this out to me. We were watching an old 60s movie, and we watched the whole movie, and my wife said to me, she said, you know, I didn't see one overweight person that whole movie. And there were scenes going through restaurants and stores, and maybe it was 70s. We went back. I said, we got to find. We watched the whole movie again. Not one person overweight. Today, they push it on the fronts of Vogue magazine. 300-pound women, and they're saying it's beautiful. Once again, is that adjusting your moral compass to fit in? That's not healthy. I'm not going to bash somebody because they're overweight. I care about everybody. I want everybody to succeed. But if you think that being you can be 300 pounds and live to be 80, then I have some oceanfront property to sell you in Oklahoma. If you want to stick around and see your children grow up and your grandkids, your heart is pumping away if you're 300 pounds. Now, does that mean fat shame people? Absolutely not. But what's more courageous? To walk up to a 300-pound person and glorify them? Or to say, you know, I had a problem with weight. I used to struggle with weight. And you know what I did? I stopped drinking sodas. And I drink these super grass shakes in the morning. And I eat more fruit. And I have a sensible dinner. And if I want a snack, maybe I'll have a granola bar or something else in the meantime. You know, maybe you should think about, you know, it's the same as your kid. Because so many people want to be cool with their kids. So when they do something wrong, what do? Do they ignore it because that's the easy thing to do? Or do they go up to them and say, listen, if you ever do that again, you know, this or that. People don't want to be the bad guys anymore, and that's a fact. Nobody wants to be the bad guy anymore. That's when I was in the military. I saw so many leaders that didn't have the courage because they wanted to be cool with their soldiers. Then there was the extreme, the NCOs who didn't know their job very well, and they just curse and scream all the time, which, you know, with curse words and yelling, you have to be very strategic when you do that. Otherwise, you lose your, you don't resonate with people anymore. You have to, being honest is a lost art. Being honest with people. My wife is from Europe. If I put something on, if I say, does this look okay? She has no problem saying, no, change that shirt. She won't. No, me, when she asked me, she, oh, you look beautiful, baby. I'm not going to go down that road. You look perfect. But she does not play. She's honest. That's how she was brought up. She doesn't sugarcoat anything. When our kids make a mistake, she hems them up. Do you have the moral courage? We talked about courage last week. Do you have the moral compass, the moral courage to stand up to somebody and to whether it's empathetically or whether it's, you know, tactfully, tastefully to say, listen, I tell you, I struggle. I live next to the school and these kids are out. It's 90 degrees yesterday. I run every day. I'm coming back into my cool down. These kids are outside playing with their masks on. It's 90 degrees. That's like one thing, you know, I don't have the moral courage to do, obviously, because it's that would just good grief. From 1999 to 2018, the American suicide rate increased by 35%. 35%. Suicide is a major contributor to premature mortality, as it ranks as the second leading cause for death for ages 10 to 34, and the fourth leading cause for ages 35 to 54. Think about that. The second leading cause of death for people ages 10 to 34. And veterans, my brothers and sisters, 22 U.S. veterans commit suicide every single day. And if you think the last 15 or 16 months has helped these stats, you got another thing coming. Now let's get back to the illegal immigrant problem we have. Listen to this stat. There has been a 63% increase in illegal children swelling U.S. classrooms over the last decade. And it's costing taxpayers $60 billion a year. Limited English proficiency, sometimes called English language learners, represents a major drain on school budgets. Almost one in every 10 students enrolled in public schools is designated as limited English proficiency. For you playing at home, that means they don't speak English very well. English is their second language. For kindergartners, the figure is 17%. In 2013, the Department of Education determined that the United States will require over 82,000 new or trained LEP teachers by 2018 and more in the years that follow. And I went on Indeed last night and I looked, and it seemed like almost one in every two job offerings are open because it's the summertime. They're starting to put those jobs for the upcoming school year out there. Almost every other one, they were either offering a bonus or something. If you speak Spanish, they would give you extra pay. Now, hour two, I'll talk a little bit more about the indoctrination camps and how anybody, and I'm not judging people, but I could never send my children back to a public school. I just can't do it. You know, we've really seen over the last year and a half with the Zooms and the videos that have been put out there by what's really going on. And you know, this is not a bash teacher, bash all public schools, because I know there's some very good people out there who try to do the right thing and make positive changes in people's life. But I also know we see things that's going on in Portland, and they're flying that BLM flag right next to Old Glory, and teachers refusing to have their kids say the Pledge of Allegiance, this, that, and the other thing. It's just too much. You know, the federal government stole education from us in 1979, and they've overstepped their boundaries even more. I just can't get into it because it'll turn into another show. Proficiency. Kindergarten through 12 in math, English, and reading, it has been below standard scoring the National Education Agency from 1993 to 2017. Proficiency average SAT scores have been plunging for decades. And at this point, some colleges are even abandoning the requirement. You know, something that came into play, the bell curve, right? That's something they instituted into college and schools within the last, 20 to 30 years? So if the highest grade in the class was a 93, then, you know, an 88 to 93 was an A. That was the 100. That was the new 100, right? And then Common Core. Our kids, in many cases, especially in the the public school system. They're not making them smarter. And then to me, the biggest piece of trash, these reality TV shows. And I never understood. And once again, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not bashing anybody. But I'm so busy in my day, I find it curious, I guess would be the right way to say it, that people would sit down in front of a TV and watch other people's lives. And they find that interesting. Especially the shows Teen Moms, Naked and Afraid, RuPaul's Drag Race, My 600-Pound Life, just to name a few. And then you look at all the movies that are out there anymore. Most movies glorify victim status, violence, sex, and lifestyle choices. You look at the top grossing films in the last decade. Most of them have been Marvel comic book related sequels. What do they preach? Social justice, right? And we could do an entire show on the current music industry. Was our tunes back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, super clean? No. But, I mean, are they Cardi B? I mean, if have you taken the time to look at some of these lyrics that are out there today? Holy cow. And these songs get played on the radio. These songs would have never seen the light of day on the radio station back in the 80s just based on the lyrics alone. It's all about degradation of women and anti-authority themes, right? And I don't have a problem with the anti-authority theme so much. That was, you know, growing up, I get it. Being a rebel is part of growing up. But to the level they take it today is just unconscionable. And something else that bothers me. English is not the official language of the USA anymore. 23% of American households do not speak English in the home. Almost one in four, 25%, a quarter of our country, don't speak English in the home. You know, when you come to this country, you should, I mean, this country is a melting pot, and some of the great things we have, especially our food, our music, come from, you know, different parts of the world. But to not be prepared, not know English, and put the struggle on us and the teachers, that, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow, right? It's like, you know, showing up in Russian expecting everybody to understand what you say. It's just not in the cards. And once again, we have about 2 minutes to the break. We'll pick it up on the other side. But as I said, they're quick to give everything a label. Now what are they doing? They're giving compulsive sexual behavior. You know, that has a label now. People are addicted to porn. Go on Facebook. You can now choose 60 options under gender on Facebook. And biology is no longer pertinent. We'll talk on the other side about how transsexual males can compete against females in college sports. Now, if you guys caught Judge Joe yesterday, he met his niece yesterday. She was wearing a cast. She was in tears. He said, "What's wrong?" She was on the college wrestling team. She said she was having a match. It was against a transsexual. She said she didn't want to wrestle. They told her if she didn't wrestle, she was going to be off the team and lose her scholarship. So what happened? They wrestled, and the dude broke her arm. It was a compound fracture. But if you go against the narrative, you're part of the problem. You're listening to the Fact Hunter Experience. It's 10:57 a.m. I'm the Fact Hunter, George Hobbs, coming to you live from Dover, Delaware. I hope you guys are having a good morning. We have overcast skies and some thunder boomers moving in this afternoon. Following this show is Jim Fetzer and Giuseppe. It's Wednesday, so you know what time it is. It's the event. And then once again, this Friday at 2 p.m., I will be joining Mona on the adventures of a feral hippie. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back for hour number two.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And welcome back to hour number two of the Fact Hunter Experience. Your host is always George Hobbs. Thanks for dropping in and listening to the show today. Don't forget, before you go, at the very top of the page, click that donations button, won't you? Or you can even stop in and become a patron. Every dollar counts. We are definitely in an information war, and we need this platform to continue to spread the word. Thank you guys so much. This is a 100% listener-supported platform. As the guy cutting the grass decided, now would be a perfect time to mow the grass right by my window. Perfect timing, as always. Don't forget, in an hour, Dr. Fetzer will be on with Giuseppe. So I think you guys get my point. As far as the moral decay, we could go on and on and on with colleges and the deterioration of colleges, right? They have safe spaces and trigger warnings. I went to UT back in, when would that have been? 2017. I was doing a research paper. I was back finishing one of my degrees, and I went to the University of Texas Library. And wow, you would have thought I was in Portland or Minneapolis, but I was in Texas. Austin has really changed. It really has changed. Unfortunately, you got a lot of people fleeing California, but they're not leaving their, I guess, political beliefs behind, right? It's like they're running with a gas can with the cap off, and the gas is just trailing out and following them. And we could go on and on and on. But you know, at the end of the day, we have a morally challenged country at this point. And those stats I read you during hour number one back everything up, right? Does every child raised by a single parent mean they're doomed? Absolutely not. But as the demands grow, you know, you hear all the time people, you know, I had a single parent mom that worked two jobs. You know, who's there to do the parenting? And they want to destroy the nuclear family so that the chaos that you're seeing ensue before your very eyes can continue. And it's going to continue unless people like you and I stand up to this morally corrupt society that we're in right now and say this isn't right. And sometimes it's got to be more than simply turning in your cable box. There's a lot of people out there who have no idea this stuff is going on. It's up to you and I to get the word out. And sometimes it has to be more than just sitting behind a microphone. It's getting out there with your signs and your megaphone. I've said 1,000 times on my podcast, you have to start doing things outside of your comfort zone. Right? Anybody can get behind their computer and send an angry tweet out, but it takes a person of conviction to stand out in front of a public school that has something immoral going on and picketing that, making phone calls to governors, to congressmen, right? And not everybody's going to agree with your moral compass. But if more people, if you guys haven't noticed over the last year and a half, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Right? They didn't want that election to continue, that election conversation. So what did they do? They made January 6th happen and they shut it down quick. You know, I wanted to have faith in Trump like a lot of people did, but he dropped the ball in a lot of places. The tweet he said yesterday was kind of resembled the whole Trump administration. What did he say? I thought I had it bookmarked. He said yesterday, congratulations to the country of Nigeria. By the way, congratulations to them. They just banned Twitter because they banned their president, similarly to what they did to Trump. He goes on to say, more countries should ban Twitter and Facebook for not allowing free and open speech. All voices should be heard. And of course, this was on the heels of Twitter crying about it. In the meantime, competitors will emerge and take hold. Who are they to dictate good and evil if they themselves are evil? This is probably the part he should have left out. He says, perhaps I should have done it while I was president, but Zuckerberg kept calling me and coming to the White House for dinner telling me how great I was. So you let somebody feed your ego. You know, he sat by. It was a bad look for him. He literally got punked off of Twitter, did nothing about it. Now, many people suspected that he was going to come up with his own platform that rivaled Twitter. And all he did was come up with a one-way communication scheme. So anyway, I wanted to talk about some COVID news. The numbers that came out, the latest VAERS data showing 5,165 deaths reported following COVID vaccines. To this date, since taking numbers December 14th, 2020, there have been almost 300,000 reports of adverse events following COVID vaccines, including over 5,000 deaths and over 25,000 serious injuries, which required hospitalization. Now, remember, if you guys missed the news today, they gave the green light to vaccinate even younger. I think it was 5 to 11, 5 to 12, something like that. So they're going to let 5-year-old kids be exposed. Kids, and what are the chances of a kid's becoming seriously ill with COVID? 0.00001%. So instead of leaving well enough alone, and these knucklehead parents are lining their kids up to be guinea pigs. Yesterday, I was at the VA getting my annual, and they said, "You haven't got your vaccine yet. Would you like one?" I said, "No, but I am first on the list to get one after the human trials are over." And his face was pretty funny. I have no intentions of getting it anytime soon. So this week's number of reported deaths among all age groups following COVID vaccines passed the 5,000 mark, up 759 last week. So in the last week, almost 800 people died from the vaccine, according to data released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, our heroes. The data comes directly from reports submitted from VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. VAERS is the primary government-funded system for reporting adverse vaccine reactions in the U.S., and of course, they say it requires further investigation before causal relationship can be confirmed. Every Friday, VAERS makes public all vaccine injury reports received as of a specific date. That total I just gave you rounds up through May 28th. So there's been a lot more since then. Now, for the 12 to 17-year-olds, the one that was the previous go-to, there were 40 reports just in the last week. 40 reports of heart inflammation and 16 cases of blood clotting disorders. Now, if you missed it, in Idaho, in the northern panhandle there, last week, the National Guard, the Idaho National Guard, set up camp right outside the doors of a school, a high school. And they had video of kids coming out the school and getting their vaccinations. Parents nowhere in sight. And this is Idaho. There was a big to-do about it. The Facebook, I saw the link to the Facebook page where the school tried to wipe their hands clean of it and said it wasn't a school-affiliated event. It was the state just happened to set up in the parking lot of our school. And the comments kind of made me feel a little better about it because people freaking blasted them. And I mean blasted them. And listen, if you're a 14-year-old kid, and you walk out, and there's a big army sergeant standing there, and he says, "You're going to get your vaccine." Chances are, you're going to get the vaccine. And once again, why? I'm telling you mathematically, there's a greater chance of harming a child with a vaccine than if they get this. You know, we can debate all day whether it's an actual thing or not, but I'm not a doctor, so I won't venture down that way. But it's a fact that they're more apt to be harmed from the vaccine than they are to be if they naturally get sick from it, right? They're going to be fine. Now, of course, if they have two or three other issues, maybe. But it's pretty shocking to see something like Idaho, where the National Guard is standing outside with a tent set up in the parking lot, herding the kids out and shooting up vaccinations. Makes you think if there is any financial kickback somewhere. That's what I think. In the U.S. alone, this is according to the CDC, 292 million COVID vaccine doses have been administered as of May 28th. Now, remember, this counts many people get two. So that counts all of them. Now, there was also a report that the vaccines have slowed down big time. And Joe is getting worried that he's not going to hit his mark of, what was it, 70% of America vaccinated by July 4th, where we don't get our hot dogs and hamburgers. And by the way, if you have to ask for your freedom, then you probably are not a free person. Just yesterday, a lot of people were upset. A new study found that the use of weight-adjusted hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, I'm sure I said that wrong, improved survival of ventilated COVID-19 patients by 200%. 200%. Now, how many people, doctors, got deplatformed for praising HCQ? Now, if, and this isn't right or wrong, but this, like, if Trump never said anything about it, they probably wouldn't have said anything about it. But because he said about it, you know, anything he said was wrong. Then the Cleveland Clinic study came out yesterday following that. They went on to say, if you've had COVID-19, you don't need the vaccination. The reason that so many people were getting sick was because they had the antibodies and they were pushing more into it. A new study by the Cleveland Clinic has found that individuals who have previously taken, previously been infected with COVID-19 received no additional benefits from the vaccination. The study was conducted on almost 53,000 employees in the clinic. A positive PCR test was considered to define a COVID-19 infection. The participants received two doses of Pfizer or Moderna vaccines at an interval of 28 days. A participant who tested positive for COVID-19 at least 42 days before the vaccination was considered previously infected. Now, during the course of the study, infection occurred almost exclusively in participants who were not previously infected or vaccinated. Not a single incidence of COVID-19 infection was observed in previously infected participants with or without the vaccination. We know this. It's nature. So why are they pushing this on people who have already had it? By the way, how is Fauci still have a job, let alone not in prison? Now, I do, as a quote-unquote tinfoil conspiracy theorist, I find it highly unusual that those emails found their way out the way they did. Was that a distraction? Is there something going on that we're missing? Lots of whispers of something going on Friday. Big solar eclipse, what, tonight or tomorrow night? The solar flare eclipse, I think it's called. Partial solar eclipse. So if you see people acting crazy, it's probably the moon. But once again, you look at the advice we've been given and the flip-flops, and how infurious if you had COVID-19 and then you get this stuff put in you. You can't undo that. There's no reset button for that. But, you know, everybody's got to do what they feel is best for them. More reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome. They had almost 300 of those last week. Almost 6,000 reports of blood clots. A third of them alone were attributed to Pfizer. Pfizer had the most, Moderna second, J&J third. But this, folks, number one, this is just people reporting. Obviously, there's several more people who are not reporting. And this is very short term. I mean, you have to study vaccinations over a 10-year period. And to me, it's no surprise that with the removal of these vaccine companies being held liable in 87 to the rise of, you know, ADHD and all the other illnesses that are going on with kids today, they go hand in hand, especially in the early 90s. They skyrocketed. They used to say the average amount of vaccinations an adult would get in their lifetime was like 7 or 8. Now it's like 24. These things have mercury in it. It's not good for you. Remember, Big Pharma doesn't make money off of your health, right? That's why preventive maintenance is so important. people want to, you know, like I said earlier, people want to eat pizza and drink sodas and then be able to take a miracle medicine to fix their problems because they're too lazy to work hard to maintain themselves because it is hard. It's not as fun. You know, who wants to every day, I have a super grass shake in the morning and I have a salad for lunch every single day. You think I'd rather not have a ham and cheese omelet for breakfast and a cheeseburger for lunch? I could do that in my 20s because I was getting up and at 4:30 in the morning and running 4 miles and I was in the army. I was moving all day. You know, you slow down as you get older and you have to modify your calorie intake. I can't, you know, run half marathons like I used to anymore. My knees are just not, I can't do that anymore. And now, you know, the latest news out of Houston Methodist Hospital is ordering their staff to withhold adverse reaction caused by COVID vaccines from official records. This broke yesterday. Jennifer Bridges, who was a nurse at Houston Methodist Hospital, and this isn't the first hospital in Houston to come out with problems of trying to suppress information. She's come forward with more information about her employer's criminal attempts at suppressing the truth about the dangers of the COVID-19 vaccines. Bridges told Del Bigtree during a recent episode of The High Wire that she and her coworkers at Houston Methodist are now forbidden from logging any adverse reactions to the China virus injections on the company's official records. Quote, every time a nurse or another employee comes out with an adverse reaction, they basically tell them in the ER, it's not an adverse reaction. This is just an intolerance. This is the word they're using now, an intolerance. It's not an adverse reaction. It's just an intolerance. It's more wordsmithing. And they don't report it properly, which means the problem doesn't get addressed properly. She goes on to say, I've been actually in contact with somebody in the hospital system that deals with the charting and the finalization of people's charts. And they have told me that officially Methodist has told them, do not list any adverse reactions on anybody's chart related to the vaccine. Now, most people, and this is just being honest, most people do not have the courage to come out and say these type of things because it's their job. It's their livelihood. They have a mortgage. They have a car payment. They have to feed their families. So are you telling me that this is the only place where this is happening? Houston Methodist was also in the news recently for a lawsuit that was filed by at least 112 of its employees who say they are being unlawfully coerced and threatened into getting jabbed as a condition of employment. Now, most places are not requiring current employees to get vaccinated. You've seen a lot of highly encouraged. But you look at all the airline companies, they are not. Was it Delta or United? They are not. They will not hire you unless you get the jab. I stopped at a Wawa to get gas yesterday. The old Wawa. You know, funny, June, it was $2.25 for a gallon of gas. Now it's $3. Big sign. $500 bonus. New hires who have been vaccinated. You want a job with a $500 bonus, you go down to Wawa. Get your vaccination and get your free donut. Up in Washington, you get your free joint now. New York, you get your free cheeseburger and french fries. If this stuff is so good, why are they bribing everybody? Washington State, you get a joint for a jab. Maybe the plan is they give them a joint, they get high, and then they get their vax, and then they go get their Krispy Kreme. People are being told not to talk about this, not to address it, not to label it on charts. Bridges says about Houston Methodist new fascist behavior. As employees, we have to go to the system and document these adverse reactions because Methodist is not doing it. Meanwhile, the Chinese virus house of cards is crumbling by the day as more revelations from the Fauci emails emerge, painting a picture of total corruption, fraud, and crimes against humanity hinged on the back of a global pandemic. Listen, if you think for one second, and I'm just speaking on the real here, if any of you folks out there think anything's going to happen to Fauci, nothing's going to happen. These folks, nothing ever happens to them. Worst case scenario, he'll disappear. He'll step down, and that's it. And he'll go live in his mansion and continue to profit off of the vaccines and the patents that he has. But just the other day, old Senile Joe said he's not going anywhere. If Houston Methodist does not take a step back from its medical fascism crusade, it could soon find itself on the wrong side of history, facing the same potential punishments that Fauci, Bill Gates, and other successors of Joseph Mengele, who are in clear violation of the Nuremberg Code, may soon face. Once again, I think this is all wishful thinking. When somebody's held accountable, give me a call. Is Hillary in jail yet? Nope. You would, if just on, you know, we talk about everything the Clintons have ever done. Just on the premise of what she did with that server, if that was a United States Army soldier, they would have been kicked out and court-martialed. Doing that to secret, on a secret server. Court-martialed, gone. Article 32 hearing. But they don't get treated the same way. While, as in most livelihoods, when you're in a position of authority, when you're in a position of power, you are held to a higher level, right? When a teacher gets in trouble, they get strung up. When a principal gets in trouble, they get strung up. When a drill sergeant or a military leader, right? And well, if you're a private or a specialist in the Army, you screw up, you get another chance. They'll give you another chance, sure. You're a senior non-commissioned officer and you get a DUI, you're done. Why? Because you're held to a higher standard. That is applicable in every walk of life except for the rulers of our country. And that's how they see themselves. We work for them. We pay more taxes than them. We work harder than them. Does Houston's medical leadership really want to face possible war crime charges concerning these fake vaccines? Do they really want to find themselves mired in litigation as they continue to drag their reputation through the mud with each passing day? It goes on and on and on. But glad to see some people sticking their neck out and standing up for calling out anybody who wants to cover up medical information like that, because that can affect other people's decision. The other day, the leadership, they were complaining once again about how the vaccines have slowed down, and they were particularly disappointed about how, quote, minorities were shying away from the vaccines. And the first thing that popped in my head was, are you crazy? Do you not remember the Tuskegee experiments? For 40 years, you guys poisoned black people, and you're surprised that they're not stepping up to a vaccine? According to WebMD Health News from the other day, African Americans have nearly the lowest rates of vaccination among any ethnic group. In fact, white Americans are being vaccinated at a rate 3 times higher than black Americans. I want to bet most of those are white liberals. New CDC figures show that of those who have received the least, at least the first dose of the vaccine, only 5% are black compared to 60% who are white. And that's from the Kaiser Permanente Family Foundation poll. Wayne Stovall Johnson is one of them. The 54-year-old mathematician leader from Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, is hesitant about getting vaccinated right now. The mother of two says even though her asthma puts her in a high-risk category, it's still not enough to sway her. She goes on to say it's really an emotional thing. This is the key word, she says. Trust is based on emotions, and I just don't trust right now. She goes on to say, I'm educated. I have a graduate's degree. I read a lot. I'm informed. I'm not a person who clings on to conspiracy theories, but I simply do not trust the government at this point. Good for you. You're a critical thinker. Now, she goes on to say that her husband and half of her close friends plan to get that. And I think everybody in the listening audience We have family members, maybe not immediate family members, but we might have parents, sisters, cousins that have gotten it. And for those people, you just hope for the best, because at the end of the day, we just don't know. We do exactly what Winstovel Johnson did. We read, we consume information, and we try to make the best decision for us. And I think she shares a common thread with all of us, and that is we do not trust the government. And anything the government says, usually doing the opposite, is what's best for us, right? Once again, she points out, but the stain of the Tuskegee study, the Henrietta Lacks case, and other examples of how Black people have been treated, and in many cases still are treated, by the medical community, makes her skeptical. And how can you blame her? Look what Hank Aaron and Marvin Hagler? Yeah, those guys got the jab and died. Remember, in the Tuskegee experiments, Black men with syphilis were promised treatment but didn't receive it. Many of them died, went blind, or developed other health issues. Speaking of Henrietta Lacks, cancer cells were used for medical research without her or her family's knowledge. And of course, she was never compensated. But for Wynn, it's not just about her lack of trust. She's concerned about future problems. All of us share the same common thread. She goes on to say, I just think that there will be some long-term negative effects caused by the vaccine that we can't know now because the vaccine is brand new. Exactly. She goes on to say, I think in 2, 3, or even 4 years, there will be side effects that people get who got the vaccine that could have not been foreseen because not enough time has passed. Precisely right. There has been no long-term studies. We, humans, are the experiment. Now, many people are theorizing, and I tend to agree with them, the spike protein, and many people theorize that, you know, every fall there's a bit of a variant in the flu, right? Every year, if I'm not mistaken, the flu vaccine, it varies depending on, you know, the pathogens that are out there. Now, many people are theorizing that this fall, when people are introduced to a new pathogen, they're going to get really sick from it, from the spike proteins. Now, listen, I'm not a doctor. You know what I'm trying to say, that the new strain of flu can prove deadly to many people. Now, what people are theorizing on top of that is they are going to blame the unvaccinated for this, thus bringing a type of martial law to vaccinate the uncleansed ones like you and I, right? Now, is that a stretch? Maybe, you know. Normally, when things like this happen, we theorize something, and then somewhere, generally in the middle, something like that does happen. Maybe not to the extent that we think. But on this, we've been right about a lot of it. And for myself, this is just me speaking. I'm grateful that I didn't get it. My wife is a registered nurse, and if she doesn't feel comfortable get it, well, then my great googly moogly, I'm not getting it, right? She goes on to say, I know everyone says the vaccine is safe. The problem is most of the people who are saying it have not gotten it. I've heard that mostly from the establishment, right? Both political and scientific. I think we've made some pretty good leaps and bounds in the science, heart surgeries and things like that. But on the other side, the big pharma side is something I've never agreed with. And I've told many people during the last couple years of my military service, I had one last deployment to go that I probably shouldn't have gone on because of my, I mean, to be completely open, not just my physical, but my mental status was, I mean, I did 4 back-to-back-to-back-to-back Iraq tours. I came home. They moved me from Fort Carson to Fort Hood, Texas. And they're like, you're going back to Kuwait in a few months. Granted, it was just Kuwait. I was dealing with 2 knee surgeries, a fracture in my neck. I had Baghdad in 2008. I saw my best friend get blown up. You know, just a lot of stuff. And the Army doesn't care. To put it mildly, the Army doesn't care your number. But to get through physically and mentally, because even back then in 2012, 13, whatever that last tour I was heading out for, there was still a stigma attached to not deploying, right? You're weak. You were, you know, other words I could use, but I'm not going to. That's, you know, you were worthless if you didn't deploy in the eyes of the military. So they ended up putting me on all kinds of medication, Tramadol, naproxen, and then certain things, you know, for my mental well-being to cool my anxiety. I had real anxiety issues, still do to this day. But they had me on so much, I was pumping, you know, halfway through the tour, I felt like my insides were dying. And I went up to my battalion commander. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I said, y'all got me on naproxen, Tramadol, and, you know, the fluoxetines and this, that, and the other thing. I said, I feel like I'm rotting inside. I don't feel right. And if you ask me to go off the meds, then I'm going to be in pain all day. So I ended up, the one deployment in my life I didn't finish out, it was a year in Kuwait. I did 9 months, and they sent me home after 9 months. And I immediately came home, and I had surgery. And I said to myself, I'll never be a slave to Big Pharma again. And I have found natural resources. The only medication I take is a antihistamine, you know, for allergies, because I live 50 meters from an estuary that leads the Atlantic Ocean. We got all kinds of pollens. It's crazy. Everything else, El Natural. And I feel great. But I will tell you what, during my time in the military, especially the last couple years, Big Pharma made a lot of money off of me. However much the Army was paying for all my medications, they made a ton of money. There is no, you know, we talk about how the Rockefeller family took over medicine back in the early 1900s. We talked about that last week. They aren't in it because they care about you. They're in it to make money. It's about power. It's about control. It's a sin. This is just my opinion. Something God gave us, marijuana, God gave it to us. Here, this, use this for hemp, use this for CBD, use this. And it's that a plant that you can grow by yourself is illegal, but you can get hydrocodone, Oxycontin, Vicodin. That's okay. That's the world we live in. And listen, not telling you to go buy weed. I'm just telling you, I think it's really funny in our society that's where we're at. A plant. That's how the Rockefellers are able to manipulate people's minds. A natural plant that grows from the ground that anybody should be able to grow for their own personal use, because we're a free country, right? That's not okay. They'll put you in jail in Texas for that. That's the truth. But that fluoxetine, you know, that $50 30-count fluoxetine or that $200 30-count Tramadol, who's addictive, destructive, and physically destroying. How many times do you hear of people dying from mixing pills with alcohol? All the time. Remember that one time that guy drank a beer and smoked weed and died? Yeah, me neither. And listen, I'm not here to promote marijuana. That's not the point. My point is, this is how indoctrinated we've become. We've allowed them to mold our minds to where natural is bad and pharmaceutical is good. That is my whole point in all this. But getting back to the, how can you blame Black Americans for not wanting to get that? Are you kidding me? That, by the way, a lot of people don't realize that lasted 40 years, the Tuskegee experiment, 40, from 1932 to 1972. That's not something we did for 5 or 6 years and we're like, oh, we feel terrible about it. No, they did it for 40 years. 40 years. So we've got about 17 minutes left in the show. Thank you guys for joining us today. There's a few things I wanted to cover. Before we left, because this really bugs me, and this is more indoctrination, public school indoctrination, and kind of an askew moral compass, if you will. This is someone who was on the New York Times editorial board, which is not surprising. The New York Times has been for decades, as long as I remember, an arm of the CIA, an arm of big government. They've been told, and it's on record, They've printed things. They've received money from the government to print things. They're controlled, just like WAPO, Washington Post. New York Times editorial board member Mara Gay says, now listen to this. This is traumatic, folks. So parental guidance is suggested when I read this. She was forced to witness. Are you ready for this? I'm getting a little teary-eyed. The pain she must have suffered. She was forced to witness American flags on Memorial Day. And to her, that was very disturbing. Could you imagine walking around your neighborhood on Memorial Day and seeing American flags? I mean, the gall of people. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. The soundbite from MSNBC personifies the moon battery concurrently infecting American discourse. And once again, we've talked about the destruction of this country and its moral compass. New York Times editorial board member Mara Gay shares her experience driving to Long Island, New York on Memorial Day and how disturbed she was witnessing American flags. Now, I'm sure she has her list of pronouns on her Twitter. I'm sure she does, right? She states that the implied message by anyone displaying an American flag is, this is my country, and she finds that alarmingly disturbing. According to the New York Times Outlook, it is unthinkable to contemplate that people would show patriotism, actual real-life patriotism, by having the nerve to fly American flags and associating themselves with America as their country. Don't believe me?
I think as long as they see Americanness as the same as one with whiteness, this is going to continue. We have to figure out how to get every American a place at the table in this democracy, but how to separate Americanness, America, from whiteness. Until we can confront that and talk about that, this is really going to continue. I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that conversation, this is going to continue.
Wow. What that is, what you just heard, is being preached at almost every liberal college. What you just heard is a product of the University of Texas, is a product. Even you look at the University of Notre Dame. Notre Dame, you can't go to school this fall unless you've had your shot. You name the college, Penn State University. I mean, that is a very common ideal in America in 2021, what you just heard. No good communist ideologue would ever want to be exposed to American flags that represent concepts like liberty, independence, or even, God forbid, the word freedom. Now, notice she didn't even take a moment to address the real meaning of Memorial Day. She was more offended by the flags than she was the courage of our brothers and sisters who gave their lives for this fledgling country. No, she's offended by red, white, and blue. Once again, thoughts that don't align with hers, she had a problem with. When we drive by and see a Joe Biden bumper sticker, me and my wife laugh. That's the end of it. That's how they think. I do not stop what I'm doing, go to my website and jump on my radio station and say, oh my God. So I was driving through Dover today. It was a Joe Biden sticker and a pride flag. And I'm not sure how I'm going to get through the rest of the day. And then go to my safe space, curl up and cry. No, that's their choice. That's called liberty, independence, and freedom. You know what the red in that flag represents? The blood of the people who gave their lives for this country. But to Miss Gay, apparently, it's revolting. And it makes her stomach churn. Once again, the moral decline of our country. What Miss Gay was exposed to was authentic American patriotism, which to liberals is the equivalent of garlic to a vampire. And she is committed. Remember, this lady is on the editorial board of the New York Times. And there's a lot of young people, probably not as many, and that's probably a good thing. But there's a lot of young minds out there in college land that read that every morning, and their minds are being controlled by these people. And she is committed to doubling her efforts to isolate, marginalize, and ridicule. That's their goal, right? It's more of the Marxist manifesto. Anybody who flies, that's their goal. Anybody who flies the flag, you're racist. Fly or embrace the American flag as representative of your pride in America, your nation, the New York Times will call you racist. So, you know, that makes me just want to run out and buy more flags. Now, remember, you can argue about the good things Ronald Reagan did. You can argue about the bad things Ronald Reagan did. But I'll tell you what, he was spot on with this quote.
Someone very profoundly once said, many years ago, that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism. And what is fascism? Fascism is private ownership, private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Well, isn't this the liberal philosophy? The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government, get off my back, get out of my pocket, and let me have more control of my own destiny.
Right on, brother. Unfortunately, the guy who replaced you and the rest of the guys failed miserably, and they have completely taken over our lives. Oh, my goodness. The government is in every facet of our lives. They've gotten into healthcare, gotten into education, and they've actually, I saw an announcement yesterday, they want to dabble and start controlling cryptocurrency. And then even Trump came out and said something negative about it. And I think Bitcoin dropped to the low 30,000s, if I'm not mistaken. By the way, whether you're not a fan of Alex Jones, I encourage you guys to go to band.video. And there's a video in there that calls out Elon Musk. Now, I have always been a person who questioned the character, for lack of a better words, of Elon Musk. You know, especially when you find out about the whole Wernher von Braun wrote a book in the 50s, and the main character in the book, the guy who went to Mars to populate Mars, the antagonist name of the story was named Elon. I always thought that was a little too coincidental. And if you know how I feel about NASA, then you begin to understand, I think this is a scam, the persona of Elon himself. I feel like they're really manipulating the market big time. You just look at AMC the other day. But I encourage you to check out, there's a video on the front page that questions Elon and what a fraud he really is. And I encourage you guys, about 6 minutes, go check that out after Dr. Fetzer's show. One last thing. We only have about 7 minutes. Which one do I want to eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Let's talk about the 5G beast, endocrine disruptors, and dysgenics. I've always been curious about the whole 5G thing. I think there is something to radio waves, probably not to the extent that many people theorize. But even as a kid, I remember my mom telling me, don't stand next to the microwave. And that's just a microwave. There was a really detailed study into the 4G and 5G, and it's pretty interesting. It says in 2018, a study of birth rates in the United States found that births were down 600,000 in just 1 year. And that was 2018 was still 4G, right? And prior to 5G beast rollout beginning in 2019. Now, the number of babies born in the U.S. dropped by 4% in 2020 compared to the previous year. The general fertility rate was 55 births per 1,000, reaching yet another record low. They go on to say that it's the sixth consecutive year that the number of births have declined, down an average of 2% a year. And it was actually the lowest number of births since 1979. Now, numerous other studies have confirmed that male sperm count has been in decline for decades, long before advances in high-frequency wireless technology. Now, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about what? The fluoridation of public drinking water, which came to be after World War II. You know, a lot of strange things happened, and that was one of them. During the last 40 years, if you go back to 1970 to today, or excuse me, 80 to today, sperm counts have declined an average of 50 to 60%. Now, with the addition of fluoridation, there is footing linking electromagnetic field radiations to fertility issues. EMFs have been found to impact both male and female fertility and affect unborn fetuses in numerous ways, including fragmenting DNA. And apparently 6G is right around the corner. Now, according to this report, males are especially vulnerable to EMF radiation exposure. Now, according to them, it's because the male reproductive organ sits closely, relatively close to the surface of the body where the females are within their tissue. And of course, when you think about it, cell phone, where's the cell phone go? It goes in your pocket. Another thing they go on to point out, you look at the, what's the word I'm looking for here? If you look at the general testosterone levels of males, right? Growing up when I was, growing up in the 70s and 80s, most of the guys I knew were dealt with, high testosterone, beard wearing, beer drinking, guys, right? Not so much anymore, right? The testosterone levels seem pretty low these days. And we can argue, is it radiation? Is it the fluoridation? Is it all the vaccines that they're pushing? Or is it a combination of all of them? Will we ever know? I honestly don't know. But, I can say without hesitation that men have become more feminized than ever. Now, there's something, a herbicide, if you will, called atrazine. It's one of the most liberally applied pesticides in the world and is the most commonly detected pesticide contaminant of ground, surface, and drinking water. It's also a potent endocrine disruptor that is active at low concentrations. The National Academy of Science studies demonstrated that reproductive consequences of atrazine exposure in adult amphibians. So you guys laughed at Alex when he was talking about the frogs. Atrazine-exposed males were both demasculated, including, this is from the report of the National Academy of Science, they were chemically castrated and completely feminized as adults. 10% of the exposed genetic males developed into functioning females that copulated with unexposed males and produced viable eggs. Atrazine-exposed males suffered from depressed testosterone, decreased breeding gland size, and they were, of course, demasculated, which suppressed mating behavior, which goes in line, all jokes aside, to the whole eugenics theory of the elites. Just go right to the Georgia Guidestones. So, with Alex, everything goes hand in hand. He's an entertainer, but with a lot of his stuff, he's right. And this was by the National Academy of Science. This was an experiment. And what did the mainstream people do? They made a big joke out of it. And he did too, but he didn't care. He wanted attention. And those t-shirts he made, he sold 20,000 t-shirts or whatever. But the bottom line is we are exposed to a lot of things in our life that we shouldn't. The atrazine, the fluoride in the water, all the vaccines. We've seen over the last 30 years, since the early 90s, we've seen the demasculation of mankind. And it should worry you, because they are messing with our bodies without our permission. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. I think he said something like that once before. We're about out of time. Another Wednesday come, another Wednesday go. But good news, it's Wednesday, so Dr. Jim Fetzer and Giuseppe, be handing the baton to them and the event. I want to jump back in the chat room and see who's in there and say thanks to you guys. Whoa, it's a busy chat room today. My goodness. Lady Horse, Pat Rabbit, Eagle Flower, Captain Fred, Zippy, Eric, Walter Mauser, Stardust Man, and everybody else. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Fact Hunter Experience. From Dover, Delaware, I'm George Hobbs. And until next time, we'll see ya.
Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held